Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Can I Get a Witness?
You may be seated. Our first reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Let us listen to God's word for us this morning. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Did I make my plans according to ordinary human standards, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For in him every one of God's promises is yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say the amen to the glory of God. But it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting his seal on us and giving us his spirit in our hearts as a first installment. This is the word of our Lord.
Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at the fourth verse. Paul writes, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your word to us. Word faithful and true. We pray now that your words will be sealed into our hearts, that we might hear them, believe them, and live them. To your honor and glory, we pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we gathered here, as did Christians around the globe, to claim and to proclaim once again this great announcement of the Easter day that Christ is risen. As we read the gospel stories, we get a sense of what that incredibly good news meant for those first followers of Jesus. Grief turns to joy, sadness to celebration, hopelessness to hope, doubt to faith. You know, that announcement, death to new life, kind of does that in us, doesn't it? Well, that's the witness of the gospel and of the church through the ages, and it is the truth that continues to live itself out in our lives that affects the change that we see happen to us as we come to faith in Christ. So we have a sense of what it meant for those first witnesses to say, Jesus is alive. But what does that mean for you and for me today? That's the question we ask of our TAB witnesses. We ask them to reflect on it as they share with us this morning. What does it mean to you to say that Jesus is alive? And what difference does that make in the way you live your life? And we begin with Sandra Reed.
To say that Jesus is alive says that what God has promised through the scriptures down through the ages to every generation, that his promises are true. One of my favorite scriptures is Joshua 1:9. Do not be afraid, be of good courage. I am with you always. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I've taken those on in my life's journey. And so whatever situation that comes in my life, be it one of sorrow, grief, joy even, I know that God is present. And I can just grab hold of what I need at the moment to get me through or to get me to a point where I can say to someone else, and this is what God means to be in your life, just to be a witness for Him. I think I was 9 or 10. One of my best friends, her little sister, who always followed us around in the neighborhood, you know, and wanted to keep up with the bigger girls, she came down with the meningitis and died at the age of, I think, 7. So as a child, I was trying to just come to an understanding of what that meant. But I remember vividly sitting on the steps of my grandmother's home where I was raised, and just out of the blue, here comes 3 little girls down the street. And one of them just turned and looked, and I saw this girl's face. And that for me was just the beginning of knowing that God was present and wanted to assure me that she was okay, that she was with Him. So when I told my grandmother of this incident, she just looked at me and she said, "I understand." So from that point on, through grade school, if I ran into difficulty with say a test or something, I would always say, "Lord, help me through this," or "give me the right answer." And I've gotten answers. Always the right answer. Just to know that in spite of all that you might encounter in your journey, that you have a comforter. You have, when friends aren't there, when family is not there, you have the promise that God has said, "I will give you a comforter, and the comforter will come if you ask, because Jesus is alive."
Beautiful. For Sandra, and really for each one of us, these eternal promises of God are true, promises that are fulfilled and then amplified in this risen Christ. "Be of good courage. I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you." These are God's timeless promises that have inspired and comforted the faithful through the ages. But what do those promises look like in the everyday of our lives? It's one thing to consider them against the light of eternity, but what about in the daily grind, kind of the static interference of day-to-day living? Paul Fennell gives us some insights on that.
The fact that Jesus is alive today just gives me hope, gives me something to live for, something to get up for every day. I'm a person who I'm very tightly wound, wired pretty high. So I have trouble going to sleep at night, and then, of course, since I have trouble going to sleep at night, I have trouble kind of getting going in the morning. But I found that when I do wake up in the morning and I'm laying there and can't get awake because I've tossed and turned all night, I start praying. You know, I start thinking about my closest family members and just kind of go out from there until I'm fully awake and ready to go for the day, and that just gives me a great start to the day. I'm praying every morning before I even get out of bed. Just really kind of calms me, centers me, gets me in the right place to face whatever comes at me during the day. Day-to-day life, especially as a businessman, can be pretty grinding. The daily grind can be pretty tough sometimes. So to give you something to hope for when it seems like all the wheels are falling off that particular day gets me through the day. It allows me to deal with people who aren't so nice sometimes, and to deal with them in a way that is nice and kind, even though that's not always the way as a human, that's not always the way that I feel inside, but with God's strength, with Christ's strength, I'm able to push past that. My job mostly is education, helping people understand their benefits and how it might help their family financially. So I look at my job as a ministry. I mean, every day, even if it's a rough day and I've got a full schedule and I'm not sure how I'm going to have enough energy to get through everything, I take what I'm doing very seriously, and I pray about it and pray for the folks that I'm going to be working with, and I hope that I'm serving a purpose of the kingdom through my work. I mean, I try to approach everything, begin everything with prayer. And there are times where I have a difficult phone call that I need to make, and sometimes I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say or how they're going to react. And so rather than getting all worked up, which I do, but rather than getting all worked up to the point where I'm paralyzed, I say a prayer and say, okay, God, you're going to have to give me the words. You're going to have to prepare that person for the message that I need to deliver. And then there are times where I've gone through an entire day and realized that I've tried to do it on my own power. And, you know, partway through the day, I'm just exhausted and I'm like, wow, and then I realized that, oh, I've been trying to do this all on my own power instead of going to God. And, you know, the Bible tells us that God wants us to bring everything to Him, just not the important things, not the hard things, but everything.
Paul Fennell reminded us of the words of Paul the Apostle: do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. For all of the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. Next, Chris Erodis reflects on the transformative power of the resurrected Christ in her life. Chris.
Sometimes we receive, I'll call them gifts, that are actually moments and opportunities from God, and they may be wrapped up in what I'll say even is maybe a weird package to us that we don't recognize until later. They could be gifts and things that you think you can't overcome and that you can't do, and that's what it means that Jesus is alive, that you can and you will with the love. Transformation occurred for me when I was actually ready to let go. And that took a long time. That took a lot of pain. It took a lot of working through losses. There were some parts of my life that I needed to walk away from, and I will call it an extraction type thing is probably the best way to describe that. That it was going to have lots of hurt in it and lots of punishment in some ways from people that you love greatly. And I think that it really spoke to God's love for me, that He was always right there by my side, and understanding that that's your relationship with God, that spending time in prayer is what this is all about, that you need that private time. And that's where the intimacy comes into play, too. So much of this, before you can move on, and you can be in a process of feeling like you're reborn, I think you do have to let go. And you have to be willing to say, what am I willing to lose? What am I willing to lose everything? And I came to a point where I said, yes, I'm willing to lose everything for you, God. And that made my life beautiful. And I've never had a more beautiful phase in my life ever. And I know my friends and my kids and everyone sees that with me. And that's what it's all about. I think showing people the love of Christ is about spending time with them, being in relationship. That's why I love Circles so much. Circles is our group that meets every Thursday night in Tab Basement, 6 to 8. We eat together, we share our meals together. People bring their families. It's community, everyone's welcome. We're building the relationships that will sustain us through this life. And it's about building community. It's about bridging our differences. It's about understanding our differences. People are coming back, you know, months and years later and saying, hey, I had a job interview, or this has happened to me. We know about each other's families, and it's sharing life And it's been a beautiful thing for me, and I just can't imagine my life without it. That's what it's all about. That's what I think, knowing that Jesus is alive and being anxious to tell people that and share that with them. That's what this means to me.
Chris reminds us that this work of the risen Christ in her life and in ours is a free and unmerited gift, and we'll commonly refer to that as being grace. But did you also notice the part where she had to play into that? She had to work alongside God in that work of grace. In order to follow the risen Christ in a new way, she had to let go of some things that were dear to her, that she cherished. And as painful as that has been for her and would be for any of us, it's the way of following him. And as we do so, we discover that we're set free then to share and to live out the gospel with others, as Chris has done and as she continues to do. Michael Jeffries is studying political science and theology at Marion University. Michael reflects on how he is working out in his own life this transforming power that Jesus is working in. Michael Jeffries.
Because Jesus is alive, we know that everything that he said is true. And the only correct response to that statement is that we need to follow him. I was raised in a Christian household and, you know, a Christian community, but there were times where I if you'd asked me if I was a Christian, I almost always would have said yes. But at the same time, it was more like I didn't know what that meant. And there were certain things where I'm like, I don't know if it's true. I read a book by a scholar named N.T. Wright when my dad got it. It's called Surprised by Hope. And that really answered my question about like the resurrection, about afterlife and all these other things. And I mean, like, it wasn't a definitive answer, but like it was the first time that it actually made sense to me. And that really like, I kind of built on that, and like I started to get like a lot of head knowledge about God. Like there was a lot of head, but there was no heart. So I was reading a book called The Reasons for God by Timothy Keller. Excellent book. He was drawing this like contrast between religion and the gospel. And for him, like, religion was, I'm going to do these things to earn God's favor. I'm doing these things to please God. And it's like, but a person who's living out the gospel says, I'm doing these things out of a genuine love for God because I'm so grateful for what he's done for me. I mean, I was really just hit by kind of the power of the gospel. Like, I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm just as equally saved by God. And there's like, I had always kind of been stuck on like, oh, if I could just get these over a couple stumbling blocks that I have, then I'll be good to go. And like, I was so caught up on these stumbling blocks. That's when I realized, you know, I didn't just have a couple stumbling blocks. Like, I saw like the amount of sin that I was in and how much I really needed God in my life to come and take me out of that. I just never really recognized them. And that's when like I really realized that I need Jesus. Like, there's nothing I can do to please Jesus because like he already did that all for me. It certainly felt like a conversion moment. It's like something, I mean, I was always a Christian. But I was a Christian, but that was really where it moved into like a fuller understanding, a fuller feeling of who God is. Why is Jesus alive? And what does that mean in my life? It means that you should do something. Like, this is life-changing Jesus. I mean, he gave us this whole set of instructions. He told us to live out his words. And for us to just kind of go, well, okay, God is alive, these are all the reasons why Jesus is alive, but you just literally, like, all you're doing is talking, and you're not changing the way that you treat others, you're not changing the way that you're living your life, you're not trying to build like deep relationships with other people, then it really doesn't mean anything to you more than like a textbook would.
So our thanks to each of these friends, folks that we see week in and week out, right here worshiping with us and serving with us. Thanks to each for sharing what it means for them to say that Jesus is alive. This is the difference that Jesus makes in the way I live my life. Because just like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John each tell their own story of the resurrection in their own words, so Sandra and Paul and Chris and Michael have shared their unique testimony of God's work in their lives, a work that continues to shape and change them, and as a result, shape and change us. It's carried out in every human heart, a deep appreciation for these promises of God, a reliance on one who knows us and loves us and cares for us, a claim and a call that compels us to live out the gospel with and for others in community, a deep love for and a trust in God who's known not just with the head, but in the heart. Each of us, in fact, has a similar story to tell of God's work in our lives. Similar not because they're all the same, but similar because they point us to the one who was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day was raised again to new life. So friends, tell your story. Tell his story. Go and be his witnesses. Amen. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that you have given to us today, the testimony of Scripture, the testimony of the church through the ages, the testimony of our fellow believers, friends that we see each and every week, friends with whom we partner. And may we, O Lord, find ourselves in their stories as we find ourselves in your story. So use us to tell your great story of the work you've done for us in and through Christ our Lord. It's to his honor and glory we pray it. Lord, hear our prayer.